Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give God some praise in this place. He is good. He is kind. He is merciful. I hope that worship moves you today. God has been good. Take a second in the comments. Type God is good. Get excited for the Lord and for all that he has done in our life. What an awesome, big, mighty God we serve. He is mighty. He is wonderful. He is excellent. He is everything. So we give God all the honor, all the glory, and the praise. Amen. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Now, you know it's time for the word. We are jumping off in a brand new relationship series. Here we are in February, and we're going to be dealing with relationships for the next 4 weeks and dealing with that. So get ready, get ready, get ready as we tag into this new series called Seems Like You're Ready. Amen. Look at us. Look at the Bible. You have your Bible, your tablet, your phone, whatever you have. Go to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10, 6 through 9, a few verses. And we'll get this thing under wraps. It reads as follows. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Amen, amen, amen. Most of you know the title of this series is from an R&B song by Robert Kelly. It was released in 1993. And in this song, Robert is serenading a woman to fulfill his own sexual desires. While the song is all the way back to 93, here we are in 2021. I feel that same attitude is still around today. We've allowed that songs and music and our sexual appetite to dictate how we view relationships. We've been deceived to think, watch this, because we're physically ready for sex equates to us being emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually ready for relationships. And we've made a division between the two. So here, I hope that you bought your pen and write down what is being taught. I'm here to help you, the ones that feel undervalued, and the person who feels like it's always their fault. This series is for the person who feels like giving up and just may want to walk. Come and check out our first message in this series is simply, can we talk? Amen, amen. Can we talk? Can we talk for a minute? Come on, my Tevin Campbell. Can we talk for a minute? I hope you're ready today. We're going on a deep dive in relationships. And this is grown folk talking. So this isn't children's church. So please, we're going to talk today, amen. So the kids don't need to hear this message unless they're old enough and mature enough to understand where we're going, amen. But the first thing I got to jump off the box and talk about real quick is who taught you about love? Jesus. Who, have you ever thought about that? Who has taught you about love? See, our American definition of the word, I feel, doesn't do it justice. Because me as a person, me as George, what do I do? I love sweet potato pie. I love it. It's great. I love basketball. But I also love my wife and I love my children. Now, are those things really comparable to my family? Not at all. But we say we love everything. You ever thought about that? So because I think our definition of love, we use one word to describe love, it has desensitized the word. It's lost some of its value. So the Bible, New Testament written in Greek, when they say love, they have three different words for love. I want to go over them real quick to get to a point where I'm going today. The first one is philos. They say that. And philos comes from the word brotherly love. That's where the city of Philadelphia becomes the city of brotherly love because they take philos. So that's a type of love, a friendship love, a brotherly love. Then they say eros. Eros is where we get our American word erotic from. So that is the kind of love between a man and a woman, a sexual love. That kind of love is also described in the Bible. Nothing wrong with that between a husband and a wife. Nothing wrong with that. And then there is an agape love, which is an unconditional love. God so loved the world. The Greek reads God so agape the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved it unconditionally. So we must understand that the word love is strong and it has different meanings. And it dictates on how we view and how we treat others in our relationships. So God is love. So when he created man and woman, male and female in the beginning, watch this. He had love on his mind. Because God is love. So when he created them, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. He needs a companion. He needs a helpmeet. So I'm going to create a woman to be with him. So he had love on his mind. Then he said, watch this. God created them and already had a reason for the relationship. He said, look here, I created y'all. And then watch this. A man must leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. Think about that. God had relationships in mind because Adam and Eve didn't have mothers and fathers yet. So he had to give them instructions on how to do it when their kids grew up and was raised. That when the husband gets his wife, they are forming a new relationship. And this relationship is so awesome that the two shall become one. It's in a relationship. He said it's not good for man to be alone. So that means God wants us to be in relationship. Now, everybody might not have a desire to be married, and that's fine. You got to work your own calling, but God has called for you. But majority of us desire to be married, desire to have a family, and that is all part of God's plan from the beginning. But I got a question. How were our parents' relationships? Were our parents married? How was it? I got to give a shout out to my grandma, Grandma Thomas, rest her soul. I thought about this because I always say that nobody in my family stayed with the person that they was with the whole time. But I forget about my Grandma Thomas, that she took the Coretta Scott King role, that when my grandfather I never met died years and years before I was born. She never got remarried and never dated. I never seen her with a man. And that's an awesome testimony. She took to death do us part to the end. But how were our parents' relationships? How were they? Were they married at all? Were their marriages good, or were they just together for the kids? Were they just together just to get the kids growing out the house and then they leaving? Or were they together but couldn't stand each other, didn't talk, didn't communicate? How was their marriage? How was their dating life? Did you see men running in and out of mama's house? Come on, are we having real talk today, church? Did we see men coming in and out? That's your uncle. Did we see women coming in and out? That's your auntie. What did we see? Did we see mama neglect us because she wanted to keep a man and didn't love us? What did we see? How were our parents' relationship? How was their single night? Did they even have relationships? Or did we just see people in and out, only coming in when they wanted something? How were our parents' relationships? I got something to tell you. Watch this. What was modeled in front of you will eventually mold you. Woo, I hope somebody heard that. I hope somebody heard that. What was modeled in front of you will eventually mold you. Preach, Pastor George, I'm doing the best I can. What I'm saying is we got to understand his parents. Like I said last week, Jabez, well, his mama, because she bore him in pain, she called his name pain. Don't you know we project our issues on our kids? That sometimes our kids are walking in our fight because of what they saw. They are dealing with mama's past and daddy's demons and mama's mess ups. Sometimes we got to realize that we put stuff on our children. So how was our relationship? What was modeled in front of you will eventually mold you. Amen. But guess what? I got good news. But if you let Christ reprogram you, he will eventually reshape you and renew your mind. We got to give God some glory, because I don't care what was modeled in front of you. If you give it to Christ, Christ can change. He can renew your mind. He can make you a new creation in Christ. So what was modeled in front of you and what might would have molded you before, we take that mold and say, you know what? I know who the potter is and I'm the clay. He's the potter and I'm the clay. And he can reshape me. He can remold me into what I'm called to be and who God has called me to be. But at first, I got to break the mold and get out of that model. So to get out of that, I got to learn what love is. First of all, love is an action word. Action word. I think we miss that a lot of times. Love requires action. Don't tell me you love me and you can't do nothing for me. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me you love me and you won't keep a roof over my head. Don't tell me you love me and won't take me out. Don't tell me you love me and won't listen to me. Don't tell me you love me and won't forgive me. Don't tell me. Love is an action word. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So because God loved, God gave. Same way with us. Because we love someone, we should be offering ourselves up and be ready to give to them. Love is sacrificial. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. You got to sacrifice if you're going to be in love. A relationship is not about you, your way, your will, and how you want it. It's a relationship. The two shall become one flesh, says God, when they get married. And also, love is about forgiving. You got to forgive one another. How can you move forward if you won't forgive? And it's a trip, because we don't want to forgive, but want God to forgive us. We don't want to forgive no one. When somebody makes us mad and do something, we want to hold a grudge and be mad and upset. Could you imagine if God held a grudge over our head? Could you imagine that something I did in 2000 would still be over my head? Something I did in 96 would still be over my head? But God is so good and so awesome, he forgives us of our sins. In fact, God said, until you make peace with your brother and forgive them, don't even come to me with your offering. Don't come to me with your prayer. Make peace and get forgiveness, because if you don't get forgiven, if you don't forgive others, I can't forgive you. Jesus. That's love. So the next question I got for you, seems like you're ready. Watch this. Who taught you about sex? Who taught you? It's a real question. Have you thought about it? You know, sex is the most Google word. The most Google word is sex. That our kids have phones now and all these technology and all these things. So God said, look here, I'm going to give you guys what sex is to God. Listen to this. Sex is God's gift to married couples. Get that first. Let's put that out the way first. It's God's gift to married couples. Sex outside of the way he designed it is not only out of his will, but has consequences in the natural realm as well as the spiritual realm. See, we got to understand that the Bible talks about fornication. We're going to deal with this all this series. I'm just typing the surface right now. We're going to deal with this all this series. But you got to understand that the Bible talks about fornication is the only sin that you do to your body. That it does something to your body. It does something different than other sins. It does something different than stealing. It does something different than lying. You are actually causing sin to fall upon your body is what the Bible says. So who taught you? Did your parents sit down and talk to you about sex? Or they just said, don't do it.
That's good.
They said, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't mess with it. Don't do it. And don't do it. Who taught you about sex? Can I get naked so you can get naked? Somebody that did teach me about sex, watch this, was music.
Yeah,
I'm coming down that street right now. I'm about to park my car here for a minute. Music, amen. DJ Quick had no business. I had no business listening to DJ Quick, but he taught me too much. Snoop Dogg, Doggy Style album when it came out, it taught me too much. You got to understand this music, even in my day and today, it is so much worse. You got to understand these artists who put this music out. Don't think these kids are not intrigued by this music, just like we were. We were intrigued by Snoop Dogg, intrigued by Tupac, I Get Around, amen. All this stuff, we were intrigued by it as youngsters. So we got a new generation and it has gotten worse. We got to be careful who is teaching you about sex.
That's
good. Is Cardi B teaching your daughters about sex? Is the City Girls, Megan Thee Stallion, teaching your daughter or you about sex? Because when we let these people influence us, watch this, it changes how we think and how we act. And things that are against God, we get desensitized to them.
Yeah.
We continue to let this stuff in our ear gates, then it eventually gets to our hearts. And now it's in our hearts. And we don't even understand the way we act and how we act because music is that powerful. Don't tell me music is not powerful because you know songs you don't even like.
That's good.
You heard what I said. You know songs by heart you don't even like. So don't tell me music can't get into your heart. Don't tell me music isn't powerful. Who taught you about sex? Was it TV and movies? Was it pornography? Who taught you about sex? Because that's going to have a big effect on the way you were molded. Did abuse teach you about sex? Did a molester teach you about sex? Because we got to be real. It's no longer time for the church to be quiet, for the church to understand that people got issues and they're dealing with things and they come to church to get free. They come to meet this man Jesus who we talk about, this man Jesus who we say can forgive him, who can heal, who can set free, who can deliver, and they scared to talk about their issues because of judgment from within the church. What if abuse taught you about sex? So you know it was wrong, but it felt good. You know it shouldn't have been happening to you, but you liked it. So now you don't know what to do. You're confused. And because a molester got hold of you at a young age, now you're in your young adult life, and now your sexual life is out of control because of what was done to you when you were younger. Who taught you about sex?
Come on.
See, what I was taught or experienced about sex, watch this, it's going to affect how I teach my children about it. Because if I'm told to go ahead and live my life, don't worry about it. If I tell my sons, go ahead, use condoms, do what you want to do. If I tell my daughters, watch this, get birth control, not self-control. Woo, who am I preaching to? If I tell my daughters, go get birth control and don't teach them about self-control, am I really helping in them? Because birth control don't help on STDs. Birth control don't help on AIDS. Birth control don't help on herpes, amen. So what am I teaching my kids? And it ain't 100% anyway.
Come on.
You still can forget a pill and end up pregnant, amen. So we got to be for real. What are we teaching our children? Because we're in a culture that sells sex.
Come on.
It's in our commercials. It's in commercials about hamburgers. You see a hamburger commercial. You see a girl in a bikini walking around all sweated and glistening and all that. What does that got to do with the hamburger? What does it got to do with it? It's all in our culture, so we got to be careful. It's in the music. It's in the television. We see broken homes. We see abortions. We see single parents. We see STDs. We see unwanted pregnancies. And because of all these things that we see, we act like Satan created sex.
Come on.
But he didn't. God created it. The enemy perverted it.
Come on, help us.
Come on, come on. God, I told you in the beginning that it was God's gift to marry couples. But because we didn't use, don't you know you can abuse a gift? Oh my God. Don't you know if you don't use something the way that it was instructed to be used, it can be really dangerous? Woo, think about that. If I have a chainsaw and I don't read the directions and I don't operate it how the directions tell me, it is people that have lost limbs, who have been cut open, who have died because not that the tool was bad, because they didn't follow the instructions of the tool. And because we haven't followed God's instruction in our sexual relationships, we've ended up with broken hearts. We've ended up with broken homes. We've ended up with broken minds. We are hurt all over the place. Why? Because we didn't follow God's instruction manual. It's beautiful, y'all, when it's done God's way.
That's it.
Look at the text real quick for me. Mark 10:6-9. I'm going to read it for you again. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. So it's God's way, man and woman, not man and man, not woman and woman. From the beginning, he made male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. So for this reason, God said, look here, I'm creating a foundation of what a relationship should look like. I am creating a foundation that it should be a man and a woman. And watch this. When they get older and they come together to be husband and wife, they got to leave their parents because they got to start their own family. Not forget their parents, not disrespect their parents, not never see their parents, but they got to understand they are coming together now and they are living their own life. And the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one. And one flesh is because of the sexual relationships. When they come together, they become one flesh, is what God said. So my next point, watch this. Who taught you about relationships? Who taught you? This is a real question. I want you to think about this. This is a thinking sermon. After you listen to this, go back and listen to it again and write it down. Right. Who taught you about relationships? Because our culture has convinced us, watch this, that sex can happen before love and relationships. Woo-hoo. Yeah, yeah, I didn't come to play today. I'm a pastor. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm none of that. I'm a pastor. I got to keep it 100 with you. That our culture, what is going on around us, has convinced us that sex comes before love and relationships a lot of the times. God made them and gave them a reason and a purpose to stand behind. A relationship. He said the two should come together. He gave them a relationship first before they had sex. And if I wanted to go back a little bit further to text, Adam had a job before he had a woman. So watch this. If you ain't even got a job and you're trying to get a woman, you too broke for sex. Praise God. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I don't know. I'm trying to help somebody out today. You too broke for sex. You ain't even supposed to be thinking about sex right now. Get your life together. Get you a job. Get you a credit score. Get you a car. Get you a house. Get your life together before you start thinking about that, because you ain't ready for that. You want a feeling, but you ain't ready for the relationship.
Jesus.
So because our culture has tripped us up and trapped us up to thinking that sex comes before relationships and love, watch this. We cool with having one night stands. We cool with having casual hookups. And because the vibe is right, because he was feeling me and I was feeling him, and we was on the dance floor, the music was going, and it told me drop it like it's hot, and I felt like dropping it like it's hot, and he was looking good, I was looking good. Now it's the vibe at home. Now, we might be pregnant or jump into our relationships now because we had sex first. Watch this. So because we fall in love with sex, more before we get into a relationship, our love lives become complicated. Here we're sitting on somebody's social media status, their relationship status is complicated. It ain't complicated. You either together or you ain't. It's not complicated. We walking towards, if we're married, we're married. If we're not, we're not. Or we're courting, we're dating, about to get married. But because we have sex before marriage, things then become complicated. Our marriages don't last like they should. Why? Because we just got together and had some kids. We got to be careful, because we put sex before love and relationships. That's not how it goes. It's perverted. So it messes up how the relationship could eventually go. Watch this. Because sometimes the devil's so conniving, we fall in love with the sex and we stay in the relationship because of sex, not because we want a relationship with that person and not because we love them. But we stay in it because of sex. Woo, I'm preaching. I know I'm preaching. So for 10 minutes, watch this. For 10 minutes, you make me feel good. The other 23 hours and 50 minutes of the day, I can't stand you. The other 23 hours and 50 minutes, I don't even like talking to you because you're stupid. We can't even have an intellectual conversation because you're stupid. I can't even talk to you and vibe with you and talk about goals and ambition and where you want to be in life because you don't have the mental capacity to turn me on, but because you turned me out. Now I want to be around you all the time, and really you mean me no good. You was good in the bed, but bad for my head. You didn't jack me up. We got to be careful, y'all, not to get caught up in a feeling, because that little feeling will cause us to commit to relationships that we had no business being in the first place. So now, because we got into a relationship because we fell in love with sex, now we have a house that's full of sex and strife. Woo! A house is full of fornicating and fight. Come on, I'm preaching and I know it. We got to be careful because we get into these relationships and then we bring kids in them. And now we look around and all this time has passed. And now we got more kids and more relationships. And now we got multiple baby mothers and we don't know which way we turn. Why? Because we're falling in love backwards. We're falling in love with a feeling, not the relationship.
Come on, help us. Woo. Jesus.
So can we talk, y'all? Can we talk? This is the intro. Can we talk? Because what I'm trying to approach today and the emphasis of what I'm putting on today is communication with God and with each other.
That's good.
Can we talk? What's important to you in a relationship? Do you know that? What is important? What are you seeing somebody that you want to potentially marry? A potential spouse? A relationship? What is important to you besides the obvious attraction? You got to be attracted, pastor, not super spiritual and spooky. You better get somebody you're attracted to. You better marry what you like. You hear what I'm saying? I've been sitting down with brothers, and they won't counsel and say, well, pastor, she's a little on the thin side. You picked. You picked. What do you mean? She little, I can't do nothing about her body. I can try to teach her how to be submissive and what the Bible says and how God wants her to be the wife. But looks and body and all that stuff, you get to pick. Pick what you like, first of all, so you got to have some physical attraction before you even think about marrying somebody. Come on, no, I'm not here to play games with you. No. You got to be attracted to them. But watch this, because marrying somebody is probably the second biggest decision you're going to make in your life besides deciding to follow Christ. So seriously, or should I say spiritually, their relationship with Jesus should be as strong too. Their relationship with Christ should be a strong two. Not just how much they should be able to provide. My mama old school, she taught me that a long time ago. No romance without finance. Amen. That has its place. Don't get it twisted. But a strong two should be, do they love Jesus? If you love Jesus. Because if I love him, I want my relationship to honor him. I want him to be involved in my relationship. I want him to be involved in how we move. I want him to be involved in my husband's life, in my wife's life. I want them to be able to pray for me if I'm going through tough times. I want them to be able to encourage me and speak life into me. I want them to be able to forgive me if I got a bad attitude or if I'm off. I want to make sure that they're loving me and I'm loving them, that we are selfless and can apologize quickly, and all these things are important. I want to make sure our children are raised up in the admonition of the Lord. And do they love Jesus? Is that a strong tool for you? Or is it somewhere down the line? Because if it's somewhere down the line and they don't know him, and then you decide to get serious, you win for an uphill battle. After you get married, you're in for an uphill battle, because now you got to convince them the time that you wasn't serious, you really didn't want to be, and you wasted it. Now you got to convince them to come to this side now, and they don't want to come.
Yeah, so
it's going to be a lot of work on your end. Not saying it can't be done, but we should be picking with God's pick on our mind.
That's good.
You can't treat this like marriage, like you're about to go buy a car. You can't treat it like you're about to go get a new car. Look here. I didn't do no maintenance on my car. I ain't changed the oil. I ain't changed the tire. I ain't changed the brakes. So what? I'm gonna go trade it in and get another car. No, baby, you don't get to do spouses like that. Amen. You don't get to make trade-ins that quick. No. You gotta do some maintenance on your marriage. Amen. You gotta do some maintenance. You gotta change that oil every now and then and make sure that engine's still hot, that engine's still working, and it's still moving. Amen. That them brakes is good. That you stop before you go too far. You gotta make sure that the steering wheel is good. Everything is good. Rolling the seatbelt, the safety precautions work, the headlights work. You got to maintain it and have maintenance for your marriage.
Good.
If you want it to work.
Good.
See, because if Jesus is not a strong tool, and we talking, and I make a decision to get into this relationship, Now, watch this. We're not going to be on the same page spiritually. And that will always cause some division. I don't care who you are. We're going to talk about it. There's so much I got to talk about in this series. Being equally yoked is a big part of that right there. You be equally yoked. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Because when we're equally yoked, marriage, we're yoked together. So we are together. So you know what yoke means, right? Maybe I need to explain this because maybe some people don't know. But when they would have oxen back in the day, they would have oxen on their carts. And it says, don't be unequally yoked. The oxen were yoked together. So the oxen were put together. That you had to make sure the measurements and everything was right. And the oxen were the same size. You couldn't have a real strong oxen and a weak oxen. Because you got a strong oxen and a weak oxen. The strong oxen is doing all the work. Pulling more than he should. I'm pretty sure. Woo, pulling more than he should. So now the little oxen is lagging and not getting done what it needs to. Now the big oxen gonna be mad and tired, or vice versa. So we gotta make sure that we are on the same page, moving in the same direction, of the same size, so we can get more accomplished, more done for the Lord. So we gotta be careful not to be unequally yoked.
Good.
So can we talk? Are you ready to talk about your relationships? Because our relationships ought to be pleasing to God.
Yeah.
And I think part of the problem, matter of fact, I know, we don't look for it in the Bible and we don't want God in our relationships. We don't want him to be the main factor. So when he becomes the main factor, when he becomes together, the Bible says that a three-corded string is not easily broken.
Yeah.
That when you come together, when you put yourself, your spouse, and God together in a relationship, nothing's what he said. No, nothing should separate them. Let no man put asunder, because you're connected through God. So whether single, watch this. So whether single, dating, or married, I got some good news for you. No matter what situation you're in right now, whether you're single, whether you're dating, or whether you're married, God still wants a relationship with you. He's that good. He's that God. That he knows that you're a flawed person. He knows that you're a sinner and that you need him. So God still wants a relationship with you. No matter your past, no matter how much you did, no matter how much dirt you did, no matter how much you didn't listen to him, he doesn't care. His love is so amazing. He still wants a relationship with you. But when you come to God, watch this, and let God be the head of your life. Let God be your head of your relationship. But first get the relationship with him, and then extend that to your marriage. Extend that to your children. Extend that to family and friends. So when we let God run our earthly relationships, we will have more love, more joy, and more peace, and more patience, and more kindness, and more gentleness, more self-control. All the fruit of the Spirit will begin to be upon us. So whoever you are today, I don't know where you're at. I hope today's message pierced your heart. That's my job as a pastor. My job is to preach the word in season and out of season. It's to preach the word to the fact that I don't preach, watch this. I don't preach for likes and hearts, even though they are appreciated. I'm preaching so God would change your heart. So I'm hoping he changed your heart today. If you need to know Christ in a pardon of your sin, let today be your day. Let today be the day. Say, I'm coming home. That I've been in too many relationships. Watch this. I've given people way more of my heart than I've ever given God. I put my trust in this individual so much. And that's probably why God didn't allow it to work. Because God is saying, you gave them my spot.
Jesus.
You made them number one. You would do whatever they said do, no matter how mad you was about it. They cost you time. They cost you money. They've done all these things and have done you wrong and wrong again, and you still run back to them. And here I am waiting to heal your heart. Here I am waiting to give you a new life. But you got to make a commitment to me. This relationship is the best you ever going to have. And if you get into a relationship with me, watch this, I give discernment. Get close to me so you can know what looks like me and what don't. So I can change your perception of what a relationship is. I know you might have saw things in your childhood. I know you might experience things in your young adult life. I get all that. But come to me so I can show you how a relationship is supposed to work. And if you come to me, I can make all things new. If you come to me, I can change the storm. If you come to me, Christ is saying, come to me. Amen, amen. It's a number to say text to join. If you need prayer, you can also text that number. We're here to pray for you and encourage you and speak life blessings on you. God is saying, I love you, my son, my daughter. Come back home to me. Can I pray for you? Dear Lord, I thank you, God, for this time as we dig into relationships. I thank you, Father God, for everyone that's tuned in today that's going to watch it now and may watch it later, oh God. I'm asking right now, God, right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you pierce their hearts, their minds, oh God, that you touch them in such a way, oh God, right now, Father God, that you give them strength, oh God. I pray, oh God, that some heart is turning over to you right now, Father God, and you show them that you're there to help them to pick up every broken piece of their life. And in fact, you've been there the whole time. You've just been waiting on them to come and surrender all to you. So if that's you today and you're ready to surrender all to Christ, throw up the hand emoji, throw it up. And say, I'm surrendering all. I'm throwing up the white flag. Today is today that I'm giving it all to God. No more will I be bound by a relationship that don't make me no good. God said, it's time to come home. So I pray today is your day that God encourages you to come home and be with him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you. I hope the word spoke to you today. I hope you're encouraged. I hope you enjoy service, everything from the worship to the word. Thank you for tuning in for New Creation. I'm going to do my spiel. I do it every week, praise God, because everybody logs on at different times. If you miss offering time or if you're not a member of this church, you just want to sow into the ministry because the word of God blessed you. We appreciate it. It should be a number text to give on the screen. It's a Cash App as well. Thank you for all of you guys who give, who tithe regularly. You are much appreciated. As we continue to build up, we got to get our food pantry together and our Serenity's closet together, the two projects that we are working on right now for 2021. So we want to say we thank you, we love you, and we appreciate you, Lady Thomas and I do. Be encouraged. Be looking out for next week as we dig into this relationship series. Amen. Next week, I'm preaching Just Kicking It. I'm letting the cat out the bag. You stay down to the end, you're going to catch it. I'm preaching Just Kicking It. Yeah, kick off your shoes and relax your feet. Party on down. Yes, yes, yes. We stand in that same vein. Seems like you're ready. Be blessed. Be encouraged. And trust God this week. God bless you. We love you. Take care. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, family. So glad you tuned in. I hope you enjoyed praise and worship. Switched it up on you. Try to do something new as well. Amen. So I'm going to be in your house talking about relationships. I'm going to welcome you into my home as well. So we're still in our relationship series. Seems like you're ready. I hope you're excited about the word today. If you have your Bible, your phone, your tablets, whatever you're using, go ahead and go to the Gospel of John. We'll be in chapter 4 today. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, starting with verse 16. And it reads as follows. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have said well. I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." Wow. Today's subject is another R&B classic called Just Kicking It. Amen. Today we're going to talk about just kicking it. Living together and unmarried seems to be more popular now than it ever has been. In fact, stats say that 7.5 million couples live together unmarried. Approximately, that would be about 15 million people. Society has its own view about cohabitation. They have their own view, their own thoughts about it, and all that is fine. But understanding, watch this, that I'm a pastor, that I have to preach the word of God. It tells me in season and out of season, which means that I have to preach the word. And sometimes, watch this, I can't worry about tickling people's ears. I can't worry about making people feel good. I have to preach the word of God to hopefully to the point it convicts you in your heart and it leads you to some kind of change. That's why we need the word of God so we can be like the pastors and sing, "I know I've been changed." Amen. So if you're not married or cohabitating and you're in a sexual relationship, I come to tell you that you're just kicking it. That you're just kicking it. Amen. Don't get it twisted. Before I was Pastor George PG, I was Homie G, and I wasn't no angel. Amen. No. I was very promiscuous, and I've done things that I wish I wouldn't have. So don't get it twisted. I'm not here to judge, but I am here to help.
I am here to share, oh God, my testimony and hope that I can help someone today come out of something that they're stuck in. Hopefully I can help someone not make the same mistakes I make. I know it's Valentine's Day. I know a lot of people are booed up and all those good things, but I come to help somebody today because we want to go above and beyond. We want to be at what God called us to be, amen, in our relationships. So before I begin to speak, watch this. Don't get it twisted because I'm talking about singles because marriages aren't perfect either. Don't get it twisted. Yeah, yeah. Married people, y'all just hold on. I'm coming down your street soon. I promise you. I'm coming down your street. Let me deal with my singles. Let me deal with my maybe engaged people. Let me deal with them. But married people, I'm coming. We're going to deal with everything from commitment to communication to adultery. Yeah, we're going to deal with it all. And I'm here to help. So please just peep in from a view right now. If you're married, peep in. Something's going to touch your spirit. But I'm here to deal with my single people to help them get on the right track for what God has called them to be. Amen and amen. So before I begin, this is a topical message. I'm using this text as the base of my message, but I'm not dealing with everything that Jesus said. I want to be clear of that. I don't do many topical sermons, but today I am. What Jesus was talking to the woman at the well fits, but I do want to give you some background so you understand what this text says and what it means. Amen. So Jesus is the Messiah. They're having a conversation, and somehow her relationship comes up in this conversation. So while the text isn't exclusively about her relationship status, it does come up. The text is more about Jesus being the Messiah, that the woman at the well is a Samaritan and he's a Jew. He asked her to get him something to drink, and they like Samaritans and Jews don't deal with each other. They're from a different sect of Jews. And Jesus said, look here, if you go give me a cup of water, if you knew who I was, the one that was giving it, the water I got, you would never thirst again. He's letting this demo down to let everybody know, especially her, that he's the Messiah. He tells her about her relationship, about her five husbands and the man she's with now that's not her husband. He said, matter of fact, a day is coming where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. I feel the praise in my spirit right there. That a day is coming where the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and truth. God is coming for his people. And he says, I don't care if you're a Jew, if you're a Samaritan, if you're a Gentile, the people that love me, who really want to give me their hearts, the people that love me and really want to worship and put me on the pedestal I deserve, I'm coming for them, the true worshipers. If you're a true worshiper, get ready to experience God like never before. If you're a true worshiper, get ready to experience the move of God, because God has been moving so much already in this year, and I'm so grateful for what he's been doing. So this is what this text is really about, getting the true worshipers, but we are dealing with relationships, so I'm going to stay right there. Look at this. Jesus asked her to go get her husband. And he said, in honesty, you reply, I don't have one. I love this because Jesus shows, watch this, he is concerned about our relationships. I know sometimes we get on the island by ourselves. We're going through troubles and we think, I'm on this island by myself. God, do you even care? God, are you even close? But Jesus asking her whom she was married to shows that God has interest in our relationships. Don't never forget that. Amen. We know her response was, I don't have one. And Jesus said, you're right. Matter of fact, you've had five husbands, and the man you with right now is not your husband, so you just kicking it. Y'all just chilling. Another classic R&B song from 1993. I don't know, maybe that was the year. Maybe a lot was going on in 93. I guess it just seems like you're ready, but this week is just kicking it. I think we know that song from the group of Escape. Every man wants a woman who he can go and just hang. Just the two of them alone, kick back, doing their own thing. And every man wants a woman. Every man wants a woman that can always keep him in the mood. And I'm that type of girl. So this is what I tell my dude. Look at y'all about to sing. Kick off your shoes and relax. Look at you about to sing it right now. Try to party out down to the escape beat. Well, I'm trying to help you so you escape some temptation. So you escape a relationship you don't need to be in. That's why I'm here today, man, to help you. But we know the song. It was the jam. We know it. But watch this. She said some things that tripped me out. She said a man really wants a woman that can always get him in the mood. And I come to help a sister today. Yes, you might be able to get him in the mood, but just because he can be in the mood doesn't mean he's going to be monogamous. Oh, I'm preaching already. I'm hoping I'm helping somebody. Just because you can keep him in the mood doesn't mean he's going to be monogamous. Let me break it down for you. Just because you can keep him in the mood don't mean he's going to be faithful. Just because you can keep him in the mood don't mean you're going to be the only one he in the mood with. I'm trying to help somebody right there. Let me say a little louder. Be careful when you feel like sex is everything. Woo! Be careful. When you feel like getting him in the mood is everything, be careful, because you have to understand, watch this, You're giving away the most sacred part of your body when you enter into a sexual relationship. And a lot of times, the person we enter into a relationship with that's physical doesn't even have any intentions on marrying us. They have intentions on satisfying themselves. Woo! Are you hearing me? So when a man, watch this, I'm trying to help somebody today. When a man really wants something, he'll work for it. When a man really wants something, he'll wait for it. That Benz he got, he had to wait to get that down payment. He saved up for it. That house he lived in, he had to wait and get that down payment. He saved up for it. What am I saying? When a man really wants something, he'll wait for it. But my daughters and my sisters, please listen to this. Listen to PG right here. You must believe you are worth the wait. Did you hear what I said? You must believe that you are worth the wait. If one of the reasons you are involved with someone sexually, watch this, is because you feel if you don't give it to them, they're going to get it from somewhere else, then that's the problem. If the reason you keep on going into it and giving it up to them is because you believe if I don't, then he's just going to get it or she's just going to get it, then you are devaluing yourself. You are not believing that you are worth the wait. Let me tell you my own testimony. Like I said, I'm not here to judge. I'm here to help somebody today. Me and Lady Thomas, we already had a child pre-marriage. Amen. Destiny. Our destiny must have been to be together because we named the girl Destiny. Amen. So we already had a child and here we are. She's 3 years old. I proposed. God told me she the one. This is the one. This is your wife. You better propose or you're going to be a fool. You're going to be a fool if you lose her. Propose. About to get married. And then we're 6 months away from the wedding. And we say, you know what? We're going to be celibate. Hold up. We already have a kid. She's 3 years in. We know each other intimately. We're going to get married. We're going to do it God's way, but then we wait. Why do we do that? Because we believe we both was worth the wait. We wanted to honor God with our bodies because it was God who put us together. It was God that was going to bless our marriage. It was God that was going to bless our relationship. It was God that was going to bless our family. So we wanted to make sure that we honored ourselves and each other by saying we're worth the wait. Ask yourself, am I worth the wait? Ask, are they worth the wait? The lady at the well had five husbands, but she was currently in a relationship. Watch this. Just because you can be in a relationship doesn't mean you need to be in a relationship. That's bars right there. I hope you got that. Just because you can be in a relationship doesn't mean you need to be in a relationship. Amen. Sometimes you don't need to be in a relationship. Sometimes we want to relationships to run away from our problems because we're dealing with issues and we want to be loved so bad. We quick to jump in from relationship to relationship. And God is saying, you don't need to be out there right now. No. In your season of singleness, watch this, a couple things. You got to make a priority. I promise I ain't going to take too much time. I know it's Valentine's Day and people trying to kick it with their booze and all. But Pastor George, I want to help you out a little bit. Look at this. The first thing you got to do in your season of singleness is, watch this, getting closer with God. That's simple. I know it was deep. I bet you thought it was going to be super deep and super spiritual. No, it's getting closer with God. Look at this. In your singleness, in 1 Corinthians 7, it is the reference. God shows the difference between a married person and a single person. The married person has a spouse. You got to attend to your spouse. You got to love on them. You got to talk to them. You got to be with them. You got to encourage them. They are a part of you. The two shall become one flesh. And then if you have a family, you got children. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however many children you have. Then you got a job. And then you got activities that you're going to do. You got all this stuff going on in your world. You got to focus on other things besides God. Even though God is still number one, your attention still has to go to all these other places. But in your singleness, woo, it can be just you and God. In your singleness, you should be learning how to pray like never before. In your singleness, you should be ready to fast like never before. In your singleness, you should be ready to help and do ministry. Why ain't you in ministry in your singleness? God is calling for you in your singleness because in your singleness, if you get right in your singleness, I'm telling you, when you get to your relationship, it will go a whole lot smoother. It will be a whole lot better. You will be a whole lot wiser and you won't get into certain dumb relationships because in your singleness, you've been spending time with God. You've been getting closer to God. You've been hearing his voice. You can say, that ain't it. That's the devil right there. That ain't it right there. He don't mean me no good. Nope. She just trying to use me up to get what she can get from me. No, it is in your getting closer to God. Discernment happens and you get sensitive to his spirit. Woo. The next thing in your singleness, watch this, is becoming whole. Yeah. Becoming whole is important. Amen. We like to think that we are two people coming together as two halves to make one. I disagree. I say it needs to be two whole people coming together to make that one whole. Amen. Now, you need to come into a relationship and then hopefully lead into marriage as whole as you possibly can. You need to be whole before you have a wedding. Amen. Did you hear what I said? You need to be whole before you have a wedding, or you're going to be miserable in your marriage. I hope you got that. That if you're not whole, you're going to experience all kinds of problems. Listen to me. Healed singles have healthy marriages. Trust me, I'm a pastor. I know. I counsel couples. I marry couples. And healthy singles have healthy marriages. They move into their marriage with good communication. They move into their marriage with better understanding. They move into their marriage on one accord with God, not unequal with the yoke. Healthy singles, come on in your singleness. You want to get as healthy as possible so your marriage can live, so your marriage can be blessed, so your marriage can flourish. Singles, hear me now. You got too much stuff you be dealing with. You got to become whole. Maybe it's past relationships. Maybe it's past soul ties you're dealing with. Maybe it's financial issues. Maybe it's childhood issues. I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, in your singleness, you got to be ready to let God fix it before you bring somebody else into your situation, before you bring somebody's kids into your situation. Deal with you in your own singleness to get ready for what God has for you. Watch this. These are the things we must let God fix in our life. Because if you are single, watch this. Pastor about to get real deep on you right here. I believe, watch this, if you in your singleness right now, you should be celibate at least a year before you even start the day. What, Pastor? Yeah, I believe that. You should be celibate at least a year before you even begin to think about dating somebody. Why? Because you got to get some, if you ain't a virgin already, you got to get that stuff off of you. If you've been in relationships and you got soul ties with people and you hooked on people because they was good in the bed and bad for your head and all this stuff and messed with your heart and played with your heart, and now you jumping yourself, putting yourself out there to love people that don't even love you, you got to rid yourself of all that. You got to come up out of that. You got to get that. You got to get some self-control for your flesh. So you should say, you know what? I got to shut it down before I even begin to talk to somebody. Amen. Watch this. You think I should go a year of no dating and no sex? Yes. See, then when I find the right one, watch this, I don't have sex with them until I get married. That's why I shared my testimony earlier about me and Lady Thomas going celibate before we tie the knot. Why? Because think about this. If it takes 5 years until you meet that person and get married, watch this. If it takes 5 years, you will be healthy spiritually. You will hopefully be healthy emotionally. You will be healthy financially. You will be healthy all the way around as possible you can. And if it takes 5 years, if you get married and this death do us part, it's 5 years of getting whole worth another 35 years of being married and not have no issues. Think about that. We make sex such an issue. Remember, I talked about it last week, that we put sex before the relationship and before love. And we do that and come to find out, watch this. I dealt with couples. Come on, singles. I'm trying to help somebody out. Because singles, I want to get married. I'm tired of being single. I just want somebody to love me. I want somebody to spend time with me. And it's married couples who don't have no sex, who couldn't keep their hands off each other before they got married. Then they got married and didn't have no communication, no respect, no love for one another. And then they get together now, and now they don't touch each other. Be careful. Hold on to yourself, because if you just say, you know what, I'm going to wait. If I wait 5 years, if we're going to be together the next 35, 40 years, what difference does that make? Why are we in a rush? Let me put some Bible on it. First Thessalonians 4:3-5, New Living Translation. God's will for you is to be holy. So stay away from sexual sin. That's God talking. That ain't Pastor George talking. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. Woo! Y'all hear the Apostle Paul writing to Thessalonians? Look, he put so much meat in there. Self-control of your sexual desires is a clear mark of the process of sanctification. that God says, look here, you got to get control of your body, because if you don't have control of your body will control you. Come on, seems like I'm ready. Y'all think I'm playing. My mind is telling me no, but my body is telling me yes. Come on, somebody. seems like you're ready. My mind is telling me no, but my body is telling me yes. And then we make bad decisions because of our body and we weren't able to think with our mind. He says, no, you got to get control over your body. Don't be like the people that don't know God and live for their lustful passions. You know God. God is calling you to be holy. I come to help somebody that if you learn to be holy, ain't no telling how many heights God can take you to. If you just learn to be holy, I'm telling you, help is on the way. That's what he's there for. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. I get it. You may be weak. I get it. This may be hard. I get it. This might be something new to you that you never even considered. But I'm telling you, if you hold on to God's unchanging hands, I'm telling you, if you trust God and his word, he begins to move in you and give you more and more and more of him and take you to another level. Woo. Just kicking it. In verse 2, she goes on and says, every man wants a woman that can cook him up a good meal. No lies detected right there. I tell you, Lady Thomas is an awesome cook. Amen. My mom was an awesome cook. So I believe that a man, hey, what they say back in the day, a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. I don't think much has changed. Amen. That if you could cook a good meal, that give you points on the board. I'm telling you. So if you ladies can cook, keep that's a good skill. Amen. So she says that, and I felt that. No lies detected. We understand, watch this, that a man wants a woman that can get him in the mood. A man wants a woman that can keep a meal ready. Come on, we looking for wives, man. I hope you are. You're looking for a wife. Those are two qualities that are great to have. But my question is, watch this. If you are doing all this and you're not married, why would somebody want to get married? Pause for the cause. I got a pause for the cause right there. If you're doing all this and you're not married, why would somebody ever want to get married? If you're giving him all of a husband's luxury and not requiring him to be a husband, why do he want to make you a wife? Grandmama said it like this. Why buy the cow when the milk free? I know I'm preaching. Why buy the cow when the milk free? Why are you giving somebody all the luxuries and you not a wife yet? Praise God. Amen. Why are you doing this? So we must understand, watch this. Nowadays, it's not just even for the women, but it's for the fellas too. That men can get caught up and be so emotionally hooked and emotionally attached to a woman that can turn them out. And next thing you know, he wants her and wants her and wants her. He lost his mind and now he's stalking and can't get her out of his head. It ain't just for the ladies, for the fellas too. Why are we so caught up in having these relationships that mimic marriage, but not the commitment? Woo! They mimic the cohabitating. They mimic the sex, but don't want to mimic the commitment. I'm coming to help somebody today. Come on, come on. We got to understand, watch this. If we are just kicking it, we have to be careful. Why I got to be careful, Pastor? I like the relationship. The relationship being, I'm cool. Me and him get along. We spend a lot of time together. He love me. I love him. We got a family. Why I got to get married? Because God said it. Because I come to find out this. That watch this. Just because we just kicking it and it seems good now, when you stop expecting, you start accepting. Ooh, I'm preaching better than somebody responding today. When you stop expecting, you start accepting. Amen. Ain't that a trip that you expected to be a wife, but you accepted so much of this and you accepted so much of that now y'all don't even talk about marriage, that it don't even come up, even though in your heart's desire, you want a ring on your finger, you want your last name changed, amen. At the end of the day, because you have accepted so much, you don't even expect it no more. You just go with the flow. You have lost yourself. God says, come on out of that. No. A real man knows the woman he wants. A real man wants to put a ring on a finger and say she's mine. A real man wants to raise up his kids in the admonition of Lord. A real man wants to love his family, wants his family to be together. And I understand we have blended families. Everybody's story is a little different. Nothing wrong with blended families. I have blended families in my church that another relationship comes and somebody else marries somebody else with kids. But what I'm saying is that somebody gonna come along and want to marry you and want to value you, because I got sons and I got daughters and I want to see them value other human beings. I don't want my sons to think it's cool to keep sleeping around and breaking out these girls' heart. I don't want my sons to think that. Hey, man, we got to be careful, man, the sons that we are raising. Because if we continue to do what we do and just kick it, and then we decide when I don't want to kick it no more, I'm up and gone and on to the next one. Watch this. I've broken her heart. Now I got to deal with this sister. Watch this. Her heart is broken with pieces, but she still got kids. So now because I broke her to pieces, now her kids are getting raised by pieces of her. Woo! Woo! Hope I'm helping somebody today. So quit playing with people's hearts. If you don't want to be in a relationship, don't do it. If you don't want to be committed, don't do it, because we are letting people be broken because we're playing with their emotions and playing with their hearts. And now the kids are involved. They are involved. And we just on to the next one because everybody is just kicking it. Woo. Pray this word has touched you. I'm about to be gone after this. But it's a show I like on Disney Plus called WandaVision. If you don't know about Pastor, I love the Marvel movies. I'm into the Marvel Universe. I guess I'm kind of a nerd with that stuff. I think it's dope how you got 20-something movies together and they all telling one story. But it's a new show called WandaVision. I think it's super dope. And it's about the WandaVision, Wanda Maximoff and Vision. They were a couple. And if you watch the movies, you know Vision, he died in Avengers Endgame and stuff. So they went through that and now she's hurt. And she's in pain, and now she's created a whole world, almost, in this town called Westview. She's created a whole, they call it the anomaly, she's created a whole alternate reality. So she's there, she's bringing people in, kicking people out. She's using her little red magic, and she's doing this thing and creating a different world. She's even created herself to be pregnant. She's created herself to have twins, and she has a whole town under her own mind control. It's crazy. It's tripped out. She has everybody under her control to think that she has the perfect relationship, that her and Vision is tight, that they got the twins, they got the perfect neighbors, the perfect house. Everything is perfect, and then one time she looks at her husband, and he's dead. And then trip. She sees her husband, and she's dead, and she can't escape her past. She sees his face. That's not how she created him to be. But now he looks how he really is, and she's messed up. Can I suggest to you that some of us have been Wanda in our life, the Scarlet Witch, that because we want to keep up with the Joneses, and we want our relationship to look like everybody else's, and we want people to think that we got it going on, we created this alternate reality. We created a reality where he ain't work and don't do nothing, but I make everybody think he do everything. We created a reality, watch this, that he be kicking my tail at night, and my kids here, and they can't stand them, but because I want to be with them, I'm so scared of being lonely, I make everybody think we all good, and I love him, he's the best man ever. Because he got an addiction problem, he got a drug problem, an alcohol problem, he always using, and because I don't want nobody in my business, I rather fake it and make it look like everything's okay. Because she always cheating on me, all she want to do is take my money, and I done caught her cheating so many times, but I'm embarrassed behind it, and I love her so much, I create an alternate reality where my mama think we cool, my daddy think we cool, my friends think we cool, my cousin think we cool, everybody think we cool, because I created an alternate reality. Oh my God, I come to help somebody today. But instead of creating your own reality, watch this, why don't you just try to trust God in your relationships? Amen. Why don't you say, God, I'm tired of this fake thing around me. I'm tired of making things look like they good and they really ain't. I'm tired of making things look like they perfect and they really a mess. I'm tired of making things look like they cool and it's really chaotic. In this season, God is saying it's time for my people to give me your relationships. You cannot trust me with your salvation and not trust me with your relationships. You got to trust my perfect will. You got to trust that I understand that you my child and I love you and I'm going to put you in the right place with the right person, but I need you to trust me. You got to understand my perfect timing. I get it. You want to be married right now. I get it, but you ain't ready. I get it. You want a relationship right now, but you're not ready. You're going to spend so much time just kicking it that if I bring the right person around, you're going to just kick them out. God says, no, you got to wait. You got to cleanse yourself. You got to desensitize yourself. You got to come up out of the world and this system and its ways and let me get you in my perfect timing and my perfect will and ultimately follow my perfect instructions. If we follow God's instruction, I'm telling you, you will go from seeming like you're ready to actually being ready for what God has for you. All I'm saying is, church, we got to get to a place in our life. I get it. We all want to be loved. I get it. It's Valentine's Day weekend. I get it. And we see people posting their pictures. We see people posting on their Instagram, on their Facebook, looking so in love and looking so cute and matching outfits and all this good stuff. And ain't nothing wrong with it, but wait your time. Ain't nothing wrong with it, but wait your time. Because if you move out of step, my God, a relationship, the wrong one, can damage so much. It can damage you. If you got children, it can damage your relationship with them. And it can damage who you are and your own self-esteem. But I know we're talking about just kicking it in relationships, but I kind of talk to you about the greatest relationship of all, a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That God has been so good and so kind that he loves us in spite of us. That the Bible is clear, while we were yet sinners, watch this, Christ died for us. That while I was in my mess, he already had a message to help get me out. Woo! While I was in the middle of a crisis, he already had the words that connect me to him. That God is ready to set you free, to heal you, and start you on a new path. But the kicker is, you got to believe. If you want to believe that today, close your eyes and pray with me. Say, dear Lord, today, oh God, I believe that your son Jesus came down to this earth, born of a virgin, died for my sins, purchased me my freedom, purchased my soul. Dear Lord, forgive me for any sins I've ever committed, knowingly and unknowingly. This day forward, oh God, I'm moving to living a life that is pleasing to you. I'm living a life that is understanding, to live by your will, your word, and your way. And if I ever make a mistake, Lord, I will repent swiftly to stay with you. In Jesus' name, amen. That's my prayer today. I pray that you've been saved. I pray that you gave your heart to Christ today. I pray that this word has moved you. I pray that you got some insight on relationships. And if you're just kicking it, not going nowhere, if you're not moving to marriage, I dare you to analyze your relationship. Am I making my own reality? Am I making this into something when it's not? Am I wasting my time in this thing because it's not real? It's what I'm wanting to be, but it's not what God said I should have. Woo! It's what I'm making it to what I want it to be, but not what God says I should have. So I pray to God the word has blessed you today. You know, I'm going to continue to do what I always do. If the word has blessed you, if you missed offering time, please. I know we log on at different times. Please get your gift ready with your tithes and your offering. Thank you for those who have been committed with your tithing and your giving. It is such a blessing, and we appreciate it. As we continue to get together our food pantry and surrender these clothing, as we want to be a blessing to the community the best we can. Amen. We are the church. We want to make sure that we are helping any way we can and doing what we can and helping any of our members as well. So I thank you. Yeah, we appreciate all that you do. Continue to be looking forward to next week as we're dealing with, we're about to slide over to the marriages next week. So if you want to be married or you are married, tag somebody, tell them, hey, tune in. Pastor George is talking about relationships, and definitely, hopefully, it's a word that will bless your heart. Be blessed, take care, and enjoy your day.